Man Up Live here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt filling in for Jake Lyman today. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier here with you on this beautiful Friday. The Tennessee Titans getting set to join joint practices with the Seattle Seahawks. That'll kick off here in about an hour and a half. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios, home of the $99 yearly BI membership, where the buzz is always about great service, or at least Nick Frazier is. I am live here at Vanderbilt Health Football Center, taking in some joint practices with what we can actually see. Should have brought some binoculars out here. Jake was right. The view is great, but, Chad brought some. Thanks, Chad. Dr. Frazier, how we doing?
Doing pretty good. That's why we pay Chad the big bucks. He brings all the extra additives to the broadcast.
He's the man. He's got us all set up.
He's like the cream and sugar to the coffee.
It took us like 10 minutes today to find the Wi-Fi password because they decided to have a board meeting right in front of the desk where the Wi-Fi password is contained. It was like the Romans guarding Jesus' tomb. It was pretty wild.
There you go.
Well, with that being said, before we get into the Titans, high school football is back, ladies and gentlemen, and that will be culminated tonight, and you can hear it right here on 102.5 The Game. Myself and Big Joe will be helming the game blitz, but last night we had a nationally televised game here in our state. Brentwood Academy and Baylor, which I imagine a lot of you Vols fans were tuned in for to watch some DGG action, and I would venture to say you probably were impressed by what you saw, because I was too. Dr. Crane, did you watch any of that last night?
I did. I watched it from kickoff to the end of the game where they called it for lightning, and rightfully so, because there was an 18-point gap. And to be fair, like, I know David Gabriel Georges takes over everything for the most part, but the senior quarterback, Keegan Croucher, that's, you know, committed to go to Ole Miss, he's got an arm on him, and he's so poised in the pocket. It's fun to watch Baylor, and especially for us. Like, we went to private school. You went to JP2. I went to Father Ryan. Those are schools that we played against. And I remember playing at Baylor, and that was just such a frustrating place to play because it was always late October, and it's ice cold. They're already accustomed to the, you know, up on the plateau, but then you get used to it, and you just never could get the win. But Baylor just looks like they're the best team in the state right now.
That's a tough environment to play into. Those students get into it so much. You probably saw it on TV last night, but the TV didn't do it any justice. They are so loud. I remember going there, I think it was my junior year of high school, and it's its own pocket dimension. Like, it's a boarding school, so, you know, those kids live there, and they are, like you said, accustomed to the weather. It's like Buffalo. Like, they're accustomed to the weather. No one else is, and they're going to be a really good team this year. I wish we could cover them not exclusively, but I wish we could talk a lot more about them. But, you know, we try to stay focused on the Middle Tennessee teams, and they're out in East Tennessee. But still, I mean, Vol Watch was on last night. Gabriel Georges, he looks the part. There was the one play that's going viral where he takes off, plants his right foot into the ground, takes a hit, and yet somehow pivots, stays up, and keeps going. Like, how many guys does it take to bring down this running back? It's insane. He is going to be a very, very good player in college football, in my opinion.
Yeah, listening to the broadcast last night, when I think they said one of the high school coaches said he's going to be a first-round draft pick, I mean, let's pump the brakes a little bit. The guy has to go through 3 years of college football before you get there. But, no, you're right, Connor. He is everything. He plays the part. I mean, the breakaway speed he has after getting to the second level, it's something that I think a lot of, you know, high school football fans and just football fans in general haven't seen since, you could even say, I guess, the Derrick Henry days of high school, or even for me, like, playing in that division, Ty Chandler was a really good player.
Yeah.
He didn't have that breakaway speed once you got to the second level. He was fast, don't get me wrong, but David Gabriel Georges, he has that extra body mass added to him. I think that's a big factor, and the way he's able to lower his pad level and just, like I said, run through tackles, it is a fun thing to watch week in and week out.
I can't recall a running back prospect that has been this highly touted in my lifetime. And again, I'm pretty young, so someone's going to chime in and say, well, you don't remember this person, and I was like, I probably wasn't around for him. But I can't remember a running back prospect being hyped up this much out of high school.
I mean, Jalen Hurd comes to mind for me. I mean, that is one player in particular.
Yeah, maybe Mark Ingram when he was going to Alabama. I mean, that was a Heisman winner. But in the time I can remember of being alive, I don't recall a running back prospect being propped up on this big of a pedestal. I mean, he's on national TV last night in the state of Tennessee.
Yeah, no, it comes, I would say, to the – you make a good point because, like, as a junior, this kid was getting noticed everywhere. I mean, he was starting to really come into his own, and obviously, you know, Marshall Manning gets a little bit of time last night. I was listening to their, I guess, post-game press conference. I've never heard that before in high school football, but Baylor
they
had
have those?
One. Yeah, Baylor had one. They interviewed the starting quarterback, senior quarterback, and he was, you know, asked about Marshall Manning and his second drive, or I think it was in the second quarter they picked out the second drive or something like that, and he was like, yeah, it was already scripted in the play sheets where we're going to, you know, put Marshall in, get him a few good reps in there. And, you know, his first play was a bootleg to the right, and it was an out route to the wide receiver. And it might have been one of those comeback routes, actually, because he caught it in stride. Oh, not in stride, but in play, and then ran out of bounds. But, you know, I think it's a good thing to see because you have a senior quarterback that's committed to go to Ole Miss. He already has shown the part that he can play at the next level. Baylor is just, like we said, it's a boarding school. It's one of those teams that can kind of, you know, exercise those opportunities for younger players because they know they can pick and choose their points when to put them in.
All in all, just happy to say, welcome back, high school football. I know it means a lot to you. You're going to be roaming the sidelines for our Metro Nashville Game of the Week this year. I'm going to be back at the studio. You obviously played. High school football was a huge part in why I got into sports in the first place. Welcome back, high school football. We missed you.
Amen. Amen. I'm just ready to smell the burgers and the fries and even the hot dog. Oh, yeah. That's one thing I'm looking forward to this year for the Metro Nashville Public Schools Game of the Week, and that's the catfish. I mean, these places know how to cook catfish and to have the right sides to go with it. I think Pearl Cone's the one that had the collard greens, the catfish, and I think had hush puppies as well. I mean, right now they're top of the list, and right behind it goes Stratford and then I think East High School. So we're really working on that.
Well, we are out at Pearl Cone tonight, our Metro Nashville Game of the Week, coming off with a bang in week one. NBA visiting Pearl Cone. That is a premier matchup in Middle Tennessee to kick things off for your high school football season. Are you going to be out there tonight, Dr. Crane?
I will be out there. And that game in particular, Pearl Cone NBA, if you go back in history, especially like the mid-2010s, the 2015s, that was always a premium game in week one because Pearl Cone, they're not shy of scoring points. They'll put up 70 points if they can. And then NBA is always, they're always fundamentally sound and that they know how to manipulate the ball and the play clock. And so I think that's the beauty about high school football is that even if you have a private school going up against a public school, I mean, even back in the day before we were even alive, that there was no divisions of private school, public school. They all played each other. So it's basically a taste of history in week one coming up this tonight, that is.
That'll kick off pregame coverage tonight at 6:30. I believe Greg Pogue and Coach Spears are on the call. And afterwards, don't go anywhere because myself and Big Joe will have full high school football coverage with the Southeast Financial Credit Union Game Blitz. We're going 9 or whenever the game ends, probably around 9:30, all the way to midnight. It's going to be a fun time. You won't want to miss that. Speaking of things you won't want to miss, lots of headlines to look forward to today as the Seattle Seahawks are on their way to Vanderbilt Health Football Center. They're probably in Nashville right now as we speak. I mean, practice kicks off in about an hour. But they are on their way. We're going to find out a lot about the Titans today, specifically on offense. And we'll touch on both sides of the ball this hour. But Dr. Crane, your general takeaways and things you're looking forward to as we get this joint practice underway today.
Secondary improvement, just from the defensive backs. I think Alante Taylor has proved that he's worth the money they paid him. I'm just really concerned about Cordarrelle Flott. I want to see more out of him. Obviously, he did not have a great preseason week one against the 49ers. That's just, it has to change. I mean, you're going up against a Super Bowl winning team. Obviously, you're going up against, you know, Jackson Smith and Jigba and others, Cooper Kupp in some cases. So if you're Cordarrelle Flott, you have to prove to not only the coaching staff, but to the fan base that they made the right decision in bringing you in.
Yeah, I think my general takeaway is this is going to be a bigger challenge than it was last week for Tennessee. Obviously, San Francisco is a good team. They're a good NFC contender. But they had a lot of injuries. And overall, even if they didn't have a lot of injuries, Seattle's the defending Super Bowl champions. They've got a deep roster, especially on defense. So I think for me, it's a matter of how can you compose yourself? How can you get to a level where you can compete with the best. And I think we're going to find out a lot about that today, specifically from Cam Ward, specifically from, like you said, the secondary. I think receivers have a say in some of that as well. We're going to find out a lot today about where the Titans are and how they've progressed throughout training camp.
Yeah, and another, I'd say, position group that is to watch for. Obviously, Fernando Carmona has been in the, I guess, limelight for the Titans in the recent days of this past week, and that's just being, you know, one of those young rookies that's continuing to improve. Going up against guys like Leonard Williams and XYZ on that defensive front, you're going to really get a good test of what Fernando Carmona is about. I think, you know, when you go up against players like that, and, you know, I feel like Jeffrey Simmons is slowly sculpting the interior line for the Tennessee Titans when they go up against each other in practice. I think he's slowly sculpting them and maturing them because he is one of the best defensive tackles in all the league.
615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get involved in the conversation. Our phone and text lines always driven by our friends at WilsonCountyHyundai.com. A fun show planned for you today. Going to talk a lot of Titans. We'll get into some college football in the second hour. But coming up next, we'll focus on the offensive side of the ball for the Titans as they get set for this joint practice. Offensively, who needs to shine today? And I heard Robbie and Joe play it yesterday. We'll play it again. Or, I'm sorry, this morning. We'll play it again. Dan Orlovsky yesterday on NFL Live had some comments about Cam Ward and how he can improve heading into this week. We'll hear what he has to say. The obvious answer, how can Cam Ward shine? The offensive line, wide receivers, the offense as a whole. How can they shine against a Super Bowl winning defense from Seattle? We'll get to that coming up next right here on Next Man Up. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier here with you on 102.5 The Game.
Never careless. The defense has won the rep here. Everybody's covered. Competitive or careless? Because careless, hold on to the football, run backwards, try to float the ball away. That's a intentional grounding penalty. It's preseason. I'm not overreacting. But you do want to see much improved play in week two from Cam Ward to at least spring this offense into the regular season. Because if he takes a step, Tennessee is going to be a very competitive football team.
There you go. That was Dan Orlovsky yesterday on NFL Live talking about Cam Ward, the improvements he needs to make. He went through some of the film from last week's game against San Francisco. And I agree with him. I think if he takes the steps to improve, he can be a very good player in this league. It's just a matter of when and how can he do that. And today is not going to be an easy challenge for him as the Seattle Seahawks are here for joint practices at Vanderbilt Health Football Center. Welcome back in. Next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier here with you on this Friday. A white girl Friday at that. Don't act like I didn't hear that Katy Perry coming back. I'm proud of you.
Thanks.
Anyways, the offense, I think, is going to be the forefront of the conversation today in terms of who shined or who failed against the Seahawks. We're going to learn a lot about the offense today and how they can compete with a Super Bowl-level NFL defense. And it begins and ends with Cam Ward today. Cam Ward, to put it quite simply, cannot have the week that he had last week against San Francisco. Today, I would hold more to the important standard than the preseason game on Sunday, because today you are truly seeing the best on best in practice. And I emphasize that it's practice and the stats don't matter, but you still are going to see some things in how Cam Ward can handle a Super Bowl defense. Sunday, you're going to see a little bit of that, I'm sure, but I don't know how many starters Seattle's going to play, and I wouldn't imagine it would be very many just because they're trying to preserve the health of that roster. But today, it begins and ends with Cam Ward. So to you, Nick Frazier, how can Cam Ward improve from last week into this week against a better team?
I think just sitting in the pocket. I mean, last year that was the running narrative, is that Cam Ward would kind of, and same thing with Will Levis. I mean, we know he can take the hit. You don't want him to take the hit, but I think it would be an improvement for Cam Ward just to sit in the pocket a little bit longer. And if the throw isn't there, don't force it. Just throw it out of bounds. I think that was something we saw in week one of the preseason against the 49ers, where he rolled out of the pocket either too quick, and even to that point that Orlovsky brought back with there from the break, you just throw it away, man. Like, that's what I want to see. I just want to see mental improvement from a guy like Cam Ward. I know last year it was the footwork. That was the big emphasis, but I just want to see the composure of knowing to do the right thing in the pocket.
It's okay to take the boring plays. It's okay to take the simple stuff. And for Cam Ward, it feels like he's going for the home run play a little bit too much. Not every play. He's not Will Levis. But it feels like sometimes he tries to go for the home run ball when the single is right there. And in baseball, it's okay to take the single. As long as you get on base, good things can happen. So for Cam Ward, like you said, staying in the pocket, taking those simple checkdowns, taking the short routes across the middle, those are the aspects of a quarterback that make the game easy. If you can take those simple things, the big things will open up for you. I promise. And the Titans have made sure to invest a lot into the positions that require the simplest of things. You've got Wandell Robinson at slot receiver, and he works really well across the middle, as we've seen. You've got Gunnar Helm, who is, in my opinion, taking steps to improve this season at tight end. Those are your safety blankets. And even then, you drafted Carnell Tate at wide receiver. He's going to be your wide receiver one, but you can play him inside, and you can run him on these short routes. It's okay to take the simple stuff. You don't have to force the big home run ball every single play, and I feel like that's sometimes in the mind of Cam Ward, and it gets in his way a little bit.
Yeah, the home run ball has definitely been a prominent figure in the last, I would say, latter part of the season for the Titans last year. And then, you know, obviously 1 week into the preseason, we all understand he has a big arm. We all understand that. But at the same time, like you said, in baseball, if you hit singles, guess what? That on-base percentage goes up. That creates runs. Same thing for Cam Ward. Like, if you take those small throws, it's going to create scoring opportunities. And I go back to the point that I've made way back in the spring. On paper, this team should be a threat in the red zone. Should be. I mean, they have a lot of options. And the fact that we didn't see much of that against the 49ers, that's something else that probably needs to improve as well.
Well, I think one thing that can help Cam Ward today is some help from his wide receivers. And not that they were bad last week. Cam Ward didn't really provide any favors of that wide receiver room in the preseason game, at least. But I want to see some big plays from Carnell Tate today. I want to see the legitimacy of Carnell Tate shown on full display. I want to see why you took him number 4 overall. And I'm not saying that he needs to have a Hall of Fame-worthy day today. But I want to see some stuff from him. Joe probably hates me saying that word, but I want to see some big plays from him. I want to see him getting involved in the pass attack, and I want to see him getting involved early. Same with Wandell Robinson. Wandell Robinson, I don't really need to see the home run ball from him. He is your single guy. He's your single and your double. You can take those. We're good with that. But Wandell Robinson is a safety blanket for Cam Ward. Carnell Tate, I think, is the X factor of this offense. It's going to dictate how well they play, how well Cam Ward plays, how well the receiver room as a whole plays, how well and effectively the offense is moving the ball. So Carnell Tate today, I want to see some big things out of him. I want to see how he can handle going up against a good defense.
See, I'm in the opposite boat here. I think the Titans are approaching murky waters with a guy like Carnell Tate and the preseason in general. You know, the other day when you know, Robert Saleh said he wasn't out of practice, it wasn't regards to that big hit he had. But, I mean, I don't know how much I believe that. I just think with the workload that this team is trying to fit into the preseason, obviously you're trying to build chemistry, but at the same time, you got to get these guys, you got to keep them healthy for the regular season. I don't need to see, oh my goodness, Carnell Tate scored 2 touchdowns against the Seattle Seahawks in joint practices. I don't need to see that. But yeah, you do make a good point, Connor. You need to see some production out of them. I don't think we need to see, you know, that home run day from a guy like Carnell Tate.
I'm not saying he needs to go out here and have 3 touchdown catches and that, you know, that kind of wow.
Right. Playing
Sunday Night Football. That's awesome. Anyways, I want to see production. Like you said, I want to see him getting involved in the offense because I want to see how are you going to utilize him in big games. If the Titans and the Seahawks were to play in the regular season, that would be a huge game for the Titans because you're going up against, as of right now, the king of the NFL in Seattle. So I want to see how you can show your cards and use the receiver that you drafted and put some good use to it. It's exciting. But the receivers in general, I think they need to be kudos with Cam Ward today. And that's stating the obvious because a wide receiver and a quarterback always need to be singing Kumbaya together. But they need to be on click. We need to see some major chemistry from Cam Ward and his receivers today because I think if we do, we'll start to look at Cam Ward and say, yeah, he had a bad week last week, but he put things together and he had a good day at practice today against one of the NFL's best.
Yeah, I'm just worried for the sake of it. I know there's people out there saying, well, practice how you play in a real game. I just look at it from the perspective of guys like Jordan Tyson, Emeka Ebuka. I'm trying to think of some other wide receivers Jaden Higgins in Houston. There are wide receivers out there that have unfortunately injured themselves through the preseason that, you know, you worry about that with Carnell Tate. And I'm not saying he's, you know, injury prone in any aspect, but, you know, you take a big hit in practice. That could linger a little bit. I think that's why he didn't practice the other day. That's just me. That's my opinion. But I just would rather see him fully healthy for week one. Because to be fair, Connor, and I think we're both on the same page for this, the week one game against the New York Jets is a must-win game for the Tennessee Titans because it is completely different. So if you end up, you know, winning game one of the season, that changes the momentum. It changes the chemistry with the team. You're riding high on the hog, and you're going into week two saying, we might actually beat Philadelphia if Philadelphia is, you know, already overlooking the Titans, looking at week three to Chicago. So I think they have a really good opportunity here to capitalize on what they can do. I think it's just more of keeping guys healthy for that week one game.
I'm not as concerned about the injury of Carnell Tate as I think you are, and I don't think you're over the moon. Oh, my God, he has to sit immediately. But to me, injuries in the preseason, they could get injured stepping off the porch to go to work today.
Right, and it's not that I'm worried about the injury. I'm worried about the workload and the amount of fatigue that adds up after that. That's what I'm worried about. And again, there's people out there probably thinking, he's a rookie, let him play. I get that.
That's kind of how I am.
But also, it's a business. Like, that's the thing. He's an investment. That this is a franchise that's trying to build from the ground up again. So for me, I maybe I'm in the concern side of things, but I mean, let the kid play. Don't get me wrong. We don't have to wrap him in bubble wrap. But at the same time, you know, be able to pick and choose his battles through these joint practices and even through the preseason.
You know who can help prevent injuries to any skill players?
What was that?
The offensive line. Ooh. The offensive line is going up against a pretty elite defense today, especially in the front. I mean, you have Leonard Williams at defensive tackle, who was, for some reason, voted a better defensive tackle than Jeffrey Simmons, which I don't believe, but still, very, very good football player. On the back end, you've got Devin Witherspoon, who's one of the top corners in this league, and the corner room is a bit thin for Seattle. They just signed Trayvon Diggs, the former Cowboy, but outside of that, a lot of injuries and a lot of not, you know, the lack of depth that they have there. But still, this is a Super Bowl-winning defense. The offensive line is going to have to be 10 toes down today. And I hope we see that. We're going to learn a lot about the offensive line today, I think, against Seattle.
100%. That's why I'm excited to see how Fernando Carmona lines up against the interior defensive line for the Seahawks. Because if he ends up having a really good joint practice today, I mean, that might just solidify that right guard position the Titans have been trying to fill for quite some time.
Absolutely. He is the X factor, I think, today at practice. You know, he's looked solid. He's had his troubles against Jeffrey Simmons, but I would imagine 99% of the league, especially at right guard, would have some trouble with Jeffrey Simmons. So I'm excited to see Carmona. I want to see, show me the things that you're showing the Titans coaches. Show me what you're showing Carmen Brasilio, because clearly he is very high on the rookie out of Arkansas. Obviously high enough to start him over two veterans, one that you brought in free agency in Cordell Volson, who I was never really high on, but still. You're over a veteran on the depth chart that was brought in via free agency. So show me that. Show me that you're capable of handling an NFL defense. Now, a great one at that, but show me that you're capable of getting involved in blocking that pass rush. And overall, prayers that everyone stays healthy today. There's no electrical substation, and somehow the Titans avoided the electrical substation in terms of injury, so good for them. But it's practice. Let's stay healthy. That is my number one request of today's practice, for sure.
I love it. Put it on a billboard. Stay healthy. Got milk? Stay healthy. There you go.
Well, I actually paid a plane to fly over the stadium at the beginning of practice that's got the banner that just says, Connor says, stay healthy. So
that makes sense. I was about to say, what was that shadow going over the football facility? But now it all makes sense.
That's just the practice flyover. They knew I was here. And I told them, don't go early. Everyone's going to follow me here. But they did anyway. And now I see all the traffic piling up outside of the stadium. Everyone's just here to see me. So,
just living in Connor Newt's world. I love it, man.
I guarantee you 99% of the people here have no idea who I am, but that's okay. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get involved in the conversation. We've touched on the offense and what they need to do against the Seahawks today. Let's flip the ball over to the defensive side. You're going to be going up against a tough challenge in the reigning offensive player of the year, Jaxon Smith-Njigba. We'll discuss that coming up next. This is Next Man Up here on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Next Man Up here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier here with you. I am live out here at Vanderbilt Health Football Center getting set for some joint practices between the Tennessee Titans and Seattle Seahawks. And we've touched on the offense. Offensively, who needs to shine today? I think the obvious answer is Cam Ward. But you could make the argument the wide receivers do. You could absolutely make the argument that the offensive line needs to show some promise today. So let's flip it over, Frazier, to the defense. Tough challenge for the D today, too. I would argue you're going up against one of the top, if not the best, wide receiver trio in the entire National Football League with Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Cooper Kupp, and Rashid Shaheed in at that slot receiver position. And you touched on it at the top of the show. The secondary has been subpar at best this preseason. What does the secondary need to show you today against one of the NFL's best trios that they are, in fact, a semi-capable unit this year?
Like, obviously, there's going to be issues with man coverage, but just flourish in the zone coverage. That's what I want to see. Just flourish in that department because, let's be fair, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, best wide receiver on the planet right now. Cooper Kupp, I mean, he's past his triple crown prime in some aspects, but he can still be a threat in the slot. I don't know. I understand that there is the concern in the secondary, and I'm on that same page. I'm actually wondering what the backfield's going to look like for the Seattle Seahawks. You have Jadarian Price, who you just drafted. You have Zach Charbonnet, who's, you know, out for the time being. But this is a time to shine for a guy like Jadarian Price, who is a threat in the passing game as well. I want to know how the linebackers and also the cornerbacks can kind of fit that solution to the problem.
Yeah, the secondary is definitely the unit on defense I have my eyes on today. Because I think Alante Taylor is starting to improve steadily. I think he's starting to show you some things that, yeah, he's capable of playing outside at that corner position. The one that's going to come to everyone's mind when I say the secondary is Cordell Flott, the guy that you paid on a three-year, $45 million contract. And you and I talked a little bit about Cordell Flott a couple days ago on my show, The Six. He has to show a lot. He's 24, he's got a ceiling, and he's got room to grow. But so far, he hasn't shown me close to anything to show that he is a capable corner in this Titans defense, especially at the starting alongside Alante Taylor. Marcus Harris has to get involved too, but I think it's Cordell Flott is the one you're going to have your eyes on. And like I said, you're going to have your hands full today going up against JSN, Cooper Kupp, Rashid Shaheed. They've got some depth underneath that as well. Let's not forget, this is a Super Bowl winning offense. Sam Darnold is a damn good quarterback in this league as well. He's not the elite of the elite, but he is a very good game manager in a positive light. So the secondary is going to have its hands full. And that includes Amani Hooker and Kevin Winston as well. You want to see some moves made from the safety position. Amani Hooker has had a step too slow for me this preseason. He doesn't look like the same player, and I realize that comes with age. But the thing about Amani Hooker is he was never truly that elite in pass coverage. He was very opportunistic. When he was lined up next to Kevin Byard years ago when the Titans had that secondary unit, Byard was elite in pass coverage and opportunistic. He knew when to make the move on the ball, and he came up with a lot of picks in that aspect. Amani Hooker just hasn't had that talent. And for me, I need to see some improvement from Amani Hooker today, especially going up against an offense like Seattle's.
Yeah, like I mentioned earlier, you don't have to be great in man coverage, but zone coverage for sure. And that's, I think you mentioned he's, you know, one step slower. Being 28 years old as that safety position for Amani Hooker, you're right. I mean, the Batman to the Robin in Kevin Byard's case. I do think because of the age factor, I think he still needs to be the Robin to the Batman and let Kevin Winston take over that role because he is the younger player and he has more juice under him. You know, I think that's the big thing we all try to adjust to. And like you mentioned Amani Hooker there, I'm curious to know, because you've been at practice week in and week out, what sticks out to you about Hooker's game that needs to improve besides the, you know, quickness on the field?
It's the coverage. and I think that sticks out for all the secondary, but you're not, you're kind of just sitting back and let the wide receiver get whatever he wants. I mean, I understand it's, you want to hold back on contact in practice and make sure no one's going to get hurt, which is something Kevin Winston needs to work on. But Amani Hooker, to me, he just isn't the same in pass coverage that he has been in years past. He's not as opportunistic as he used to be. And I never thought when the Titans traded Kevin Byard to the Eagles, I believe, what was it, 22 when they did that, 23?
Yeah, it was the back end of Vrabel's tenure, so yes.
Right. They basically handed the reins over to Amani Hooker to be the free safety. And I never thought he was a free safety. I always thought he was more on the strong side. But you're still running him at that free safety position, and Kevin Winston is your strong safety. I feel like you're right. I think you need to flip them, because I think Kevin Winston needs to show that he's capable of taking this defense and this secondary by the reins. And he has got all the tools to do just that. He's physical. He's great in pass coverage. He's very opportunistic. Some of the things that make a safety elite in this league. He's got all the opportunities, but we need to see growth. And Amani Hooker, I feel like he's on the back end of his career. Not that he's going to retire anytime soon, but in every player arc, a player reaches his peak, and then he starts to decline. I feel like we are in the decline with Amani Hooker, and that's just because he looks like, you just watch him, and he looks a step slower than he was in his so-called prime.
Or you could look at it a different way of, you know, maybe Amani Hooker just needs that surrounding cast around him. I mean, it's kind of like a quarterback on offense. You need a really good offensive line to be a productive player. Maybe for Amani Hooker's sake, maybe he just needs some a little bit better help in the secondary, minus his own, you know, lack of production to some degree. I think that might be something else, just to keep him around a little bit longer. Because again, he's 28. I mean, yes, he's on the, you know, 2 years away from 30, but at the same time, I wouldn't value him as, you know, as one of those players that's just a role player, you know what I mean? I'm not saying you are. Yeah. I'm just saying in general, that's kind of how the NFL perceives a lot of these secondary players that are in their latter 20s.
Today, on speaking on the defense, is a day that I think Jeffrey Simmons is going to take personally. Because like I told you, some lists have Leonard Williams ranked as the best defensive tackle in the NFL, and I think Jeff is out to prove something this year. Jeff, in practice, has been all over the quarterback these last couple of days. The offensive line can't do anything to stop him, it feels like. I feel like today Jeff is on a mission, and I'm excited to see that. The guys that I've been most impressed with in training camp so far defensively, Jeffrey Simmons, Femi Oladejo. Those are two guys that I think are going to be out there today, and I am excited to see the kind of moves that they're capable of making on the Seattle offense.
Yeah, Femi Oladejo has kind of slowly been on the rise, improving day in and day out. I've heard good things and read good things online that, you know, maybe there's some promising hope that he is a contributor on this defense. And that was something Robert Saleh mentioned at the beginning of training camp and at the beginning in spring practices. They're just hoping to make him a contributor to the defense. And right now he's kind of fulfilling that opportunity.
Yeah, Femi Oladejo, I think, has shown a lot for me this offseason. He was a guy that you know very well. I went in questioning his role with the amount of edge rusher depth that you have and the season that he had last year battling a lot of injuries. I mean, he played in 7 games last year and didn't really do anything in those games. He has taken his game this preseason, I think, and elevated it. He's getting involved in stopping the run. He's getting pressures on the quarterback, even in some cases getting to the quarterback for the sack. So I want to see that from him today. It's a good Seattle offensive line. But I want to see him make some plays. I want to see the defensive line in general make plays. Jeffrey Simmons, Femi Oladejo, Jermaine Johnson, John Franklin Myers. I don't know if Keldrick Folk's going to be out here today. He went down with an injury the other day, a shoulder injury. But Jalen Harrell's out. But still, you're going to see a little bit of depth on the defensive line for the Titans today. I want to see how they attack in waves. Are they truly, quote, fast and violent, like Robert Saleh says? I think so far they have been. I want to see it against the Super Bowl offense.
Yeah, and to sum up our secondary concerns, I think it goes to the linebacker room. I think that's something that we have to kind of hone in on, is that they have to be able to disrupt that offensive line, and they have to be able to, you know, kind of what the defensive line has to do, create that pressure. If the linebackers are not being able to create pressure and or making the passing channels and reads a little bit more difficult for a guy like Sam Darnold, then they're not fulfilling their job as well. So I think that is what needs to help out the secondary a little bit, is that linebacker core.
615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get involved in the conversation. Coverage of training camp as we are covering right now. It's presented by Tennessee Brew Works, Parman Energy, and the Music City Kickoff Game. Twin Peaks Restaurants, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery, and Tri-State Water, Power, and Air. We'll step away from the Titans for just a minute. I have a quick gripe in the world of college football we'll get to coming up next, and it's a very Connor Newt gripe. You know this so well, Nick Frazier. You know how picky I am with my college football uniforms, and yesterday was not a good day for college football uniforms. We'll discuss coming up next. Next man up here with you, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly. You're not Parker Kelly. Nick Frazier here on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier here with you, filling in for Jake Lyman, as he is on an airplane right now on his way to the Wiggles convention. Very exciting times for him to see his favorite band in action.
I wonder if they're going to play the hits. Like maybe,
Fruit Salad.
Yeah, Fruit Salad should be on the docket.
Yeah, I think it's over in Las Vegas. I think he's headed over to the Wiggles Con in Las Vegas.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, we've got a lot of interesting people we work with. We've got Chase, who makes candles. Joe, who's the mayor of Rayon City. Jake, who is a Wiggles super fan. I mean, we work with some really interesting people, Frazier.
Let's not forget about the LinkedIn certification, cloud storage at Chase's,
yep.
You know, added up to his resume. I mean, we're talking at least over 50 of those plaques just in his office.
I was in his office yesterday, and I was like, how do you have room for all these? And he looked at me, and he said, cloud storage. So how interesting is that?
I wonder if some of those certificates are in the cloud storage.
I wonder. And he's also a fantasy rock and roll camp enthusiast.
That's right. Whitesnake was there.
Yeah, he missed it this year, but I think there's a fall seminar with Whitesnake, Rat, and I believe a little birdie told me that Damn Yankees is going to be there.
Oh.
So how cool is that? We really work with some interesting people. I wish I was as cool with some of the people we work with.
Tell me about it.
You know what's not cool? Some of the uniforms in college football that dropped yesterday. My question is, when did college football uniforms get so unoriginal? We'll start with Tennessee, and this is going to be you're a Vol hater, and I don't really care. This is my opinion. Tennessee dropped their smoky grays yesterday. And if you haven't seen them, Chad gives the thumbs up. But if you haven't seen them, they're, you know, the traditional smoky gray color that they wear with the blueprint of Neyland Stadium on the shoulders, white pants, and a striped hand-painted helmet. And I just don't like them. I don't like the look. It's not that I don't like, you know, the look as a whole, but I just wish they'd move away from smoky gray. Because, look, I love the orange. I love the white. I love the dark mode. I just wish the dark mode would be the only alternate they have. I don't feel like they need a smoky gray. And a lot of people like it, and to each their own. It's just not for me. This isn't Kitty Cat Connie bias talking, but it is. It's just not something I can get into.
I like what they did with the shoulders, where it has like the silhouette of the building of Neyland Stadium. I think that's pretty cool. But yeah, they already have that you know, dark mode jersey. It's just like I think you just mentioned the smoky grays. It reminds me a little bit of that, but I don't know. You know, with their new contract, their jersey contract with, I believe it's Adidas. They have creative control over anything. So for Vols fans, they're just, and again, that's a fan base that will buy anything that's inside the bookstore and or anywhere on the side of the street. So if it's orange, they're probably going to wear it. If it's, you know, a smoky gray or a dark mode, but it has the accent of orange, yeah, they're probably going to wear it. And like my cousin's fiance, Ben, he is a big, big Tennessee fan. Anything that has orange on it, that guy's wearing it.
Shout out, Ben. You needed better tasting colors, but shout out, Ben.
Good guy.
I knew this was coming. 0042 says, you're a hater. It's a jersey for one game. I know I am, but I just don't like it. It doesn't look good to me. But you're not the only ones. 4312, our resident Louisville fan, we actually agree. I don't like it, but it could be a lot worse. I agree with that. It's not the worst jersey in the world I've ever seen. That jersey belongs to Texas Tech, who released yesterday. I believe they collabed with Patrick Mahomes, who's apparently their jersey supplier now. They are black, and they have, like, literal, it looks like a flag football jersey. They've got these, like, vapor stripes on the side and a black helmet that literally says Mahomes on it. It is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. It looks like a flag Pop Warner jersey. It's so terrible. And, you know, it's not even – it doesn't look like Texas Tech to me. And I just am wondering, like, when did all college football teams become corporate sellouts? Tennessee's not a corporate sellout. They're buying into their history. Great for them. Texas Tech is corporate selling themselves out to an alumni. And I get it. He's going to give you a lot of money. He's probably the best player to ever come from your university. But when did we get to a point where college football uniforms were so unoriginal?
I mean, you just said it there. I mean, you have all this money in the world that's being given to these universities. They're just spending the money however they can. They have that allotted amount of money. They're just trying to spend it so they don't have to give some of it back if that is the case. So for a guy like Patrick Mahomes, who is a Texas Tech alum, yeah, those jerseys are not great, by the way. I'm with you, Connor. They're pretty bad.
Horrible.
They're pretty bad. It reminds me of like a knockoff version of what Nebraska tried to do for their all-black uniforms. Like, you're not Nebraska. You're Texas Tech. And
which also looked terrible to me. But.
Yeah. Nebraska is known for their, you know, white shell helmet with that red in on the side. So just original, nostalgic. Yeah, that I'm not a fan of this. But again, to the point of the money, they have to spend it or else they don't know what to do with themselves.
9777 says, I'm a huge Tennessee fan and I hate the helmet and white pants. See, I'm not – I know I'm – you know, this is more a me thing than anyone else is. I don't hate – the smoky gray look. I think it was 2 years ago they had like the Spirit of Tennessee or whatever, and it had the state flag patch on the shoulders, gray pants, gray top. I thought it looked awesome. I think they wore those here, actually, if I'm not mistaken, in game one at Nissan Stadium. I can't remember who they played, but those looked awesome. 3797 says, it's to honor General Nealon, who designed the stadium in 1921. Get over it. I know, okay? It's – I'm not a Tennessee fan, and this isn't me coming after you. I just don't like the look. But I understand the history, and I understand the thing, and I salute you for that. 0042 says, you're learning about late-stage capitalism, son. Yes, we are. Capitalism at its finest, especially in sports. Apparently, this sells no matter how bad your uniform looks.
Here's the issue I have with the Tennessee Vols new uniform, the Nealon uniform, is it's white pants. That's my big issue. If you want to do white pants, make sure it's like a lighter gray or a different shade of orange, because I think the helmet's really cool. It's a matte gray helmet with the traditional Tennessee T on the side. But if you look at the neckline of the uniform, it has the original UT logo.
Which is awesome.
That's fantastic. The General Nealon patch on the left shoulder above the Adidas old school three little leaf logo, I think is great. My only issue I have right now is the pants. Like, why are we white pants in it? That's not good.
I feel like it would look a lot better with gray pants.
You know what it looks like to me, Connor? It looks like, and again, this is not the case, but it looks like Tennessee ran out of money for the pants.
Yeah, it kind of does. It looks like they just – well, it looks like an off-white white. Like, it's not the purest of whites.
It's probably the brightest cream white you'll ever see, if that is the shade of white they're going for. I could see the conversation in the equipment room. Hey, did the shipments of the dark gray pants come in or the orange pants come in? What are you talking about? No, like on the pamphlet, on the order sheet, it has here – gray pants. No, they never came in. All right, let's get our reimbursement. We don't have enough for the team. Let's put the white pants together.
4312 says, I'm honestly, in general, a lot of new jerseys across all sports just suck. I'm looking at you, MLB City Connects. I agree with that. Most of the City Connects are horrible. Some of them are good. Like, a lot of people don't like the Cardinals. I like them, probably because that's my team. But I think the Cardinals wearing red with white bottoms looks good to me. And some of them look good. But the majority of them, like the Mets comes to mind, the Mets City Connects are horrible.
I mean, if we wanted to be the New York Yankees, might as well just put the Yankees logo on the front of it. I mean, it's just gray.
Yeah.
It's gray, purple, orange, blue. It's all over the place. It reminds me of Halloween.
Ultimately, I think 5644 puts it perfectly. My blood bleeds orange. I don't give a damn what they wear. Just win. And ultimately, if they go out and win in those uniforms, good for them. This isn't me saying I hate everything, although many of you probably perceived it as that. These just don't hit. Not for me, and I'm not a Tennessee fan, so maybe if you are a Tennessee fan and you understand the history like I don't and stuff like that, then it absolutely hits for you. But it just doesn't do it for me. 977 says, I don't like the old school helmet look with the extra stripe. It looks stupid. So it looks like on the text line we're pretty split between actual Tennessee fans. Some like it, some hate it. I'm not a Tennessee fan. I don't like it. It's not the worst look in the world, but I don't like it. The worst look in the world belongs to Texas Tech, who quite literally sold a jersey a fifth-grade Pop Warner team would wear. So congratulations to Texas Tech for continuing to have the single worst year in college football history. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll switch gears coming up at the top of the hour. Of course, we have Dr. Crane, resident soccer savant, covers Nashville SC on his social media for the station. So we will discuss the boys in gold. Big win for them a couple of days ago. We'll get his thoughts. Coming up next, start hour number two. Let me do some of these reads that I didn't do. Today, the Nashville Sounds take on Norfolk. First pitch at 5:35 p.m. Catch all the action on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure and Social Cantina. And also, let me tell you that tonight you can catch the Metro High School football game of the week. Beginning tonight, every Friday at 7 p.m. on 102.5 The Game. Tonight's game, Pearl Cone versus MBA. Before and after the game, Big Joe and myself, Connor Newt, will have complete high school football coverage with the Game Blitz powered by Southeast Financial Credit Union. Very excited for that. But we'll get into the boys in gold coming up next to start hour number two of Next Man Up here on 102.5 The Game.